Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over!
All right, we're back. Let's go play Tessie. Back once again for episode 282. Sammy's here. Pat's here. It is Gordo here. And it's so funny to me. Oh, just, yeah, subscribe. Wherever you get your podcast, subscribe, rate 5 stars. It's so funny to me how we were here on Sunday night to drop a podcast Monday. And they're like, we will always be able to come up with stuff to talk about for the Red Sox. It's never an issue. But there was really, between our last recording on Thursday night and our recording on Sunday night, practically like nothing had been written about the Red Sox, any news or whatever. Now, and I know that the GM meetings are there, so like we've got Breslow quotes and everything, but now it feels like everyone and their mother is being connected to the Red Sox. The Red Sox are going to go after this. The Red Sox are going to go after that. It's like the start of hot stove season. And even though that doesn't necessarily mean things are going to get done anytime soon at all, it's just, I don't know. It's like a feeling of we're in the right place at the right time now that it's like actually rumor season. Like it feels like the GM meetings is the actual start, not necessarily of hot stove season, maybe of hot, more so of rumor season.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. This is the start of the vague rumors. If this were a dating show, this would be the episode where you kind of meet the cast, meet the bachelor or the bachelorette, and you meet all the characters. That's kind of the stage of the offseason we're at. People get really excited about these rumors. When I hear them, it's kind of like it's very broad. It's like from a macro perspective, if you will. So it's exciting to hear the Red Sox linked to names, but I would say, as always, don't get too excited until we start hearing offers around the table and stuff like that.
Yeah, like my thing, the good thing is it kind of feels like a palate cleanser, doesn't it? Remember last year, like off the bat, it was just like, yeah, the Red Sox should be on these guys, but people are saying they're probably not going to spend money. Or like every trade that was like, I wouldn't even say done, just like every trade candidate that was thrown out there, not named Garrett Crochet, they were like, yeah, the Red Sox could get it done, but like it was just like everything was an immediate turnoff that came off. The other thing too is, and we alluded to it last episode, Craig Breslow has just turned into Dave Dombrowski. He's just point blank. Yeah, we're getting a number two starter. We're going to get a middle of the order bat.
Well, yeah, for the first time ever.
Ever.
Like, so like he's never done this.
For me, him speaking with that much pointedness and conviction means that he truly, like, A, obviously believes they're getting it done, and B, has the freedom to do so. Because otherwise, last year, it was the GM meetings, it was the winter meetings, it was the end of the season press conference, everything that led up prior to, like, Crochet, Bregman, all that, his go-to quote was, "I will not get into specifics." Yeah. We want to make the team better. We want to compete for a division. I will not get into specifics. But he's like, no, fuck that. He goes, we need a co-ace. We'll get that. And then, yeah, you know what? Why not? Yeah, we'll get a power bat too. So everything so far is about as good as you could have ever hoped or imagined for the offseason to start. Like Sammy said, take it with a little bit of caution because we've been down this road before. But it's hard not to feel optimistic.
Yeah, I think back to last year at this time. We were getting those reports, those clips from National Reporter podcast appearances, stuff like that, where it's like, yeah, I remember Ken Rosenthal in particular. He said something along the lines of, yeah, like the Red Sox are finally acting or starting to talk like they're going to act like the big market team that they are and should behave like. And you're right, Pat. Craig Breslow didn't say those words publicly. He's never done that until just now, which is why I think we're so, I guess, excited about what we're hearing, because last year, I mean, yeah, maybe behind closed doors, they were acting like that, but they certainly didn't say it publicly, but their offseason last year was a big one. People don't want to credit them for some odd reason with what they did last year, but getting the amount of big names that they did, like, yes, like we talk about Narvaez as a big addition in the end, wasn't a big addition at the time, but at the time you had Crochet, you had Bregman, you had Buehler, you had Chapman. Those are four household names that they brought in one offseason. Now, they're actually, I mean, they've been so careful about not making promises since the full throttle thing. This is kind of the first time they've, I don't want to say they're promising, but the first time they've put real ideas in fans' heads since then. When he says middle of the order bat that a team has to game plan around, and I'll find the quote in a sec, but when he says that, to me, like, I'd been thinking, okay, who are the 30 home run guys? But when he talks the way he talked, to me, it honestly knocks out everyone except Schwarber and Alonso, at least out of the free agent market. Like, to me, it's going to go for a legitimate guy, not just the 30 home run guy.
I mean, I think you can, in my eyes, that's what I would think. But I think that also includes both of the NPB bats, Okamoto and Murakami, and also you could include Gino Suarez, because I could see Craig Breslow talking fans into these are impact bats. I don't agree necessarily that those three are the same as Alonso and Schwarber. I'm with you there, Gordo, but I think that I just don't want to give Craig Breslow too much credit. Pat compared him to Dave Dombrowski. It's one thing to talk like Dave Dombrowski, but Dave Dombrowski has a presence about him that Craig Breslow does not have yet. Someday, maybe. But in terms of a GM, a big boy GM, I'm sure Dave Dombrowski walks into the room and everyone gets quiet. With Craig, it's like, hey, you know, good off season last year, disastrous deadline. Let's see what he does this year. So you guys know me. I'm the big no sell guy on the rumors. I'm proceeding with extreme caution here. The one thing that I keep thinking about is why would he be pointed unless he knows something about getting that clamp off of him or whatever that
He's
term
confident.
Was we heard. Yeah.
Confident.
So because it would be completely insane to talk like that and have another full throttle situation. It would make no sense. And you say what you want about Craig Breslow. The one thing everyone agrees on, he's a smart guy. So I don't think he'd be saying all this unless he actually genuinely has the freedom to make these big moves and he believes he'll get them done. But we'll see.
Okay, so here's the quote. He said, "There's just something about a bat in the middle of the lineup that forces another team to game plan against it that has a compounding effect on the rest of the roster." And to me, that's why my brain is going away from the Eugenio Suarez, Murakami, Okamoto's, like the uncertainties, whereas Pete Alonso and Kyle Schwarber, those are guys you game plan around.
Yeah, so I agree. I could just see him like, sorry, Pat, I could just see Breslow explaining away why he thinks those other three guys fit that mold. But I agree with you, Gordon. I don't think they do.
So the difference for me in years past. So the reason I brought up the whole Dombrowski thing is, yes, Sammy, you said it. Like, there is a difference between talking like Dombrowski and commanding a room like Dombrowski. Like, there's a big difference there. One thing, though, not many GMs actually make such pointed comments. Like, you have the Cashmans, you have Dombrowski, you could maybe say Preller, but Dodgers. Outside of that, yeah, Dodgers, Friedman, yeah. But, like, outside of those three, four guys, like, no one really speaks in absolutes. So this is something kind of significant. And then, like, the other thing, too, is it's not like the encouraging thing, too, just to go back to the quotes, is, like, years prior, he would not specify a position. He would more so allude to, like, a statistic or an area. So, like, this year he says middle of the order, power bat, game plan around. Years prior, it would be like, we have to find a way to incorporate more power in the lineup. We have to improve our team OP. Like, there were like these like big like umbrella statements that no matter what they did, you could kind of argue fit under that. Yeah, Gordo.
It's like you could almost make the argument that he like, as a fan, when he's saying those things like the pass, it's almost like you want to think Moneyball, where it's like, we need more power. And it's like, okay, if we can improve slightly in a couple of areas, we have more power. Whereas now it's like, no, we need that guy.
So, like, last year, it was – I think the quote last year was, we need to improve against left-handed pitching. That was the umbrella term. And then the next thing we know, we're linked to a fucking Randall Grichuk. Like, yeah. Like,
oh, that we talked about that so many times last year.
We thought that was – we thought it was coming. We were like, it's going to be Grichuk. We all just got to accept it. We got to just hope for the best.
That it was
like, that's what I mean. Like, in years prior, it was, we got to get better against left-handed pitching. And then you go get Randall Grichuk, and you're like, well, he didn't lie. But now, if they don't get like a true like 3-4-5 power bat who is a legit difference maker, then you can say, yes, guy's a liar. Or the quote to Rob, when he goes, yeah, we're really comfortable with 3-10-ish. Obviously, we need someone to run with Garrett. If they do that, and then they go out and they get, God, who even knows? Just some Aaron Civale, like... like, if dude, they go and do something like that, then you can say, yeah, like, that was a lie. Where years prior, it was, we need to upgrade the pitching depth. If you look at Civale, you're like, this fucking sucks, but he didn't lie. So, I don't know.
By the way,
he said
should...
a long side crochet, too. Like, it's not even like we need a number two. He got a long side crochet. That's crazy. That's a bold statement.
Yeah. By the way, we should mention, when we talk about the big bats, we're not mentioning Kyle Tucker. I think we all agree there's almost no chance that the Red Sox make a play for Kyle Tucker. It just, I don't think it makes any sense to, it's what, $400 million contract on another left-handed bat? Like, he's great, but yeah, in an outfield, yeah, I buried the lead there. But I think we should just, we are aware that Kyle Tucker's out there. I just, come on. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So Schwarber, Alonso are the realistic names. That's why we're going with those two.
Yeah, like with Schwarber and Alonso, those guys slot into a position DH/first base that has at least a pseudo opening. With Kyle Tucker, not only are you paying probably three times the amount of total guaranteed money, if not more, than you're paying for those guys, but now instead of four outfielders, you've got five. And instead of, oh, we're going to find a Jaron Duran trade, we now have to find a Jaron Duran and a Willier Abreu trade. Yeah. There's a lot of moving parts. It's not the same thing as Soto. He's 3 years older than Soto was last year. So I see a lot of people comping it. Not the same thing.
I got to take. And I reserve the right to change this when I see the Kyle Tucker contract, whatever it is. I think this Kyle Tucker contract has a chance to be one of the ones we look back on and are like, that is one of the worst contracts we've ever seen.
Really?
And nothing against Kyle Tucker. He's great, great player. But my thing with him, what is his standout elite skill? I think he's very good at everything. There's nothing that he's bad at, but I don't think he's elite at anything. Not an elite power bat. Very good hit tool, but not elite. Good speed, not great. Very good defense, not elite. Very good at everything, but I just don't know how he's going to age as a player. I see this one as not – granted, it could be like a $250 million contract, and it's much cheaper than we think. We're like, oh, well, all right, maybe not that bad. But if it's $400 million, no thank you.
This is going to sound like such a mean thing to say about Kyle Tucker, but I don't mean it like that. all I'm, because it's going to play out differently, whatever. If he does not live up to the contract, because he has the injury history, he's got some other stuff. Like, Sam, you said it. He does a lot of things incredibly well. There's not one thing he necessarily excels at. There is, it's minimal, very minimal. There is risk that it could be a Jacoby Ellsbury situation.
Oh, that's even worse than what I was. I thought you were going to say if he doesn't live up to it, then Red Sox fans would look at him kind of like they looked at J.D. Drew. Even though J.D. Drew, when you look back at the numbers, it's actually really good. But if Kyle Tucker signs and stinks, that's what Jacoby Ellsbury did. He signed and he stunk.
Or the injury history keeps just coming up, because this is, it's not something where I'm trying to think. Like, it's not like he's like breaking his hand on a pitch. It's
kind
not
of like his skill set. Kind of like his skill set. He hasn't had any major injury, but he's had a lot of medium to small ones. There you go.
Yeah.
This is interesting. Interesting takes from you guys here. Pat, you go ahead, then I'll go.
I think he's going to live up to whatever contract he gets. Kyle Tucker is a phenomenal baseball player. That being said, there is some risk. But there is with every contract. There is with every contract.
I find it interesting. And Pat, you gave the caveat, so maybe I'll direct this at Sammy. With me, like, Kyle Tucker is that dude that you invest the big bucks in. But it's just, for me, even though he is the offensive player that the Red Sox need Kyle Tucker offensively, absolutely. But it's the same thing. Like, there was that Fernando Tatis thing that Bob Nightingale dropped in his article, which wasn't even really a report, but people kind of took it as a report. He's just saying that the Padres are in financial disarray and they're going to have to make a trade at some point. It doesn't necessarily mean it has to be Tatis. But let's say it was. Should the Red Sox do that? It's kind of the same thing, whereas Kyle Tucker, a big part of his value is the fact that, yeah, he can be that offensive player for you, but it's not like a Kyle Schwarber where to get it, you have to put him at DH and he's not going to be able to give you anything defensively. Tatis, he's a lesser offensive player than a Kyle Tucker. He was basically a 6-WAR guy this year, but so much of that was tied into his right field defense, of which the Red Sox already have elite right field defense. So it's like, it's kind of in the same realm of, are you really going to plunge assets into a player where a lot of the value you'd be getting from that guy is, it would basically be replacing value that you already have.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
That makes sense.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, you got to think about the ceiling. Like Tatis, we've seen him hit 42 home runs. Now he's a platinum glove winner. Like he could, and he's still really young. He could be a top 10 player in the league in a year or two. That wouldn't shock me. With Kyle Tucker, I don't know. I feel like this, is he going to get any better? I don't think he's going to get better. Not that he's not amazing right now. Well, if you're going to give him $400 million, I mean, I don't know, man. If I were a fan of a non-Red Sox team and they gave $400 million to Kyle Tucker, I would initially be excited, of course, but I'm just like, does he scream $400 million player to you guys? There's just something about him that I can't really put my finger on. It just doesn't give me that feel. This is a pure feel thing for
boring. Me. He's boring.
He is. Like, he's not a high aura guy. Fernando Tatis, aura through the roof. Kyle Tucker, if I walked by Kyle Tucker on the street, there's a non-zero chance I'd be like, who's that guy? I recognize him. Just doesn't do it for me if we're talking $400 million or maybe even not $300. I'd have to think about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a moot point for the Red Sox. Like, it's just, the Athletic, all of their writers in the know, including Ken Rosenthal, like they put together a piece, the same thing that they did for Soto last year, where they listed like the tiers of contenders, and they put the Dodgers at number one, only to kind of get bodied by Jeff Passan the very next day, who said the Dodgers are not going to spend big and probably are not going to offer Kyle Tucker 10 years. But they basically had it like as the Dodgers, the Yankees as tier two, and then a group of like four or five teams in tier three. And that's where they put the Red Sox, which is basically what they said about Soto last year. And then they actually made a real run. I wouldn't rule it out, but to me, it's not the same thing. With Soto, there was marketability. There was age. Tucker, it's not the same.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I'll build on that point. Soto is a generational bat. I don't think it's not that close, in my opinion. I think Soto is a much better bat than Kyle Tucker, and I think he'll age well. Like his defense is bad. He almost won a gold glove, but his defense is bad. I don't think that's going to be a big part of his game. But for Kyle Tucker, that's a big chunk of his value. So I just think Soto, that's the kind of bat you do whatever it takes to get. So the comparisons between him and Tucker, I just don't buy them.
Let's transition it a little bit here to guys that we think the Red Sox actually have a shot to be in on. And I'll loop it back as we brought them up. It's Pete Alonso and Kyle Schwarber. With Pete Alonso, there was the Bob Nightingale piece where it was his point was basically, yeah, a lot of executives think that the Red Sox are the spot for Pete Alonso. And then right like maybe 10 minutes before we got on here, Pat had the TikTok from Robert Murray, which I guess I got to turn on. Does TikTok have notifications? Is that a thing?
Sure, you can figure it out.
I'll have to figure it out because I guess Robert Murray's going to try to do the TikTok thing now. So I'm going to have to keep that on. But he dropped a TikTok video and said, I can pull up the quote. He was pretty pointed. He's like, yeah, the Red Sox. Here, I'll pull it up. Robert Murray said, everyone that I'm talking to here believes that the Red Sox are going to be big players for Kyle Schwarber this offseason. And that is absolutely a team to watch for him. And said he wouldn't rule out a reunion with the Phillies, which he classified as still possible. I'll ask you guys this, because they asked me this on Nesson today, and I had never actually thought about it. I think we'd all said Schwarber was our dream get. Do we want to amend? Like, I'm trying to figure out if I want to amend it, because I've been thinking about it, and Schwarber has the qualifying offer. Alonso does not. Schwarber's a little older. Alonso is younger. Alonso can help you in the field. Schwarber can't. Alonso hits right-handed. Schwarber hits left-handed, which I continue to think is not a big deal for their big bat addition, but it is a factor here. Schwarber hit a million home runs this year. That's what he's got. But is are the other things that I mentioned enough to maybe give Alonso the nudge over Schwarber for who the Red Sox should want more if they had a choice?
Yeah, I've actually been thinking about that. It's funny you bring it up. I think that Schwarber's the better bat, but I do think Alonso might be a better fit. We've been talking a lot of fit on the podcast lately. We talked about the Pasquantino Duran trade idea, fit there, a lot of fit talk. So Yeah, I think I will jump on the Polar Bear Express.
Right, lame.
So stupid.
Lame. Hold on. Can I?
Okay, go ahead. Find it. Find the boo. The Polar Bear Express, baby. All right.
Let me just take it too long.
All right. Great. Anyway, yeah, I think I will jump on the Pete Alonso train. He can play first base. Not a good defender. People hate the first base defense, but I don't think it's enough to dissuade me from wanting Pete Alonso on the Red Sox. He doesn't strike out as much as people would lead you to believe. Like, he's not a great contact guy, but he's not like Schwarber, and he's right-handed, like you said, Gordo. So I do think that he might be a better fit. Also younger. Mentioned that. So yeah, I'll join the Pete Alonso group. I'm slightly leaning towards him. That's it. If they get Kyle Schwarber, I'm friggin' running down the street yelling and waving my shirt around and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, either one's great.
Pat, are you still Team Schwarber? Honestly, it's so minuscule. Like, the truth is, it really is. But
so I think I'm still Team Schwarber just because he's not going to command the years that Alonso will. The other thing, too, is like Alonso, I don't know how much Pete Alonso you guys have watched. He is a butcher at first base.
Yeah.
Granted, you know, 75% of whatever contract he signs is likely going to come at the DH position, so it doesn't necessarily matter. But it is something that you kind of have to worry about is, you know, a transition from first base to DH. It is something that we saw with Raffy. Like, it's an adjustment that players have to go through. Not saying I don't think Pete couldn't do it, but it's, you know, it's a factor here. But, I think, dude, Schwarber on like a 3-year $105 million contract is perfect, because at that point, you know, Roman will be prime Roman, Marcelo will be prime Marcelo, ideally Campbell finds like a full-time position, gets a bat. Like, time frame wise, it gives you a little bit of leeway, a little bit more time to figure some stuff out. If you go Pete, you are locked in with Pete for the next 6 or 7 years.
Okay, that'll I'm going to ask for contract predictions, so start thinking now. But I'll give you my take on my preference, because on Nesson today, I said I really don't care between the two, and that's the truth. I would react exactly the same for if the Red Sox signed either of these guys, so long as the contract is less than 6 years. If Schwarber signs for 4 years and Alonso signs for 6 years, then I would be a little bit peeved they didn't go the Schwarber route if it was possible. But yeah, I mean, I think Schwarber's the better player. Alonso, if you want to talk fit, is a little bit better of a fit. In the end, it kind of comes out equally, and the Red Sox should just negotiate contracts with both of them and sign the one that they feel better about. But let's predict the Kyle Schwarber contract. Pat, do you want to stick with 3 years, 105, or was that just like kind of an off the dome?
No, I've been thinking about it. I think that's kind of where he lands, because he's a guy who, any team that needs a DH, obviously Schwarber's going to be the top of the list. The other part of it is Kyle Schwarber's 32, I think, 32.
He's about to be
turning 33.
Yeah, March is 33.
So I think he's the best DH available. He plays in any lineup that doesn't have a DH, honestly. He'll command a little bit more of a market just because he is on the end of, you know, like that mid-30s. I think maybe a team extends 4 years to get it done, but I think he lands at 3 for a high AAV. I'll go 3 for 105, so 35 a year.
Okay. Sammy, where do you think Schwarber lands?
I know he's 33, but he just hit 56 home runs with a 928 OPS. I think there's no shot he takes a 3-year deal. I'm going to go 5 years, 165. So that's $33 million
a year. Wow. I haven't tweeted this out, but I have written out the contracts and the teams that I think that, I guess, the top 40 got free agents that I wrote down are going to go to. And I'll stick with my Schwarber prediction from this. I got 4 years, $140 million, which comes out to $35 million a year. So we basically took the same AAV, but Sammy took it down a touch to give him the extra year. Pat, you did 35 a year for 3 years.
Yep.
I did 35 a year for 4 years. Sammy did 33 a year for 5 years.
I just think there's going to be a bidding war, and the way to win the bidding war is to give him that extra year. Like, 3 or 4 years, I just can't. Like, he just hit 56 home runs. It was unbelievable. So, yeah, I get the lack of defense or lack of position and the not super athletic, but I just can't imagine him getting anything less than 5.
I'll caveat this.
Or with an option, maybe, you know.
I'll caveat it because my Alonso deal is probably going to be lower than a lot of projections too. I all of my contract projections are lower than everyone else is saying because I keep looking at the signs. Like the Rays couldn't find a trade partner to take on 1 year $11 million of Pete Fairbanks. The Red Sox didn't extend a qualifying offer to Lucas Giolito. Shane Bieber opted in to essentially he did not think he could beat $12 million in free agency. Maybe it was because of a fear of a future physical. I don't know. But there are a lot of signs that I feel like are not paying enough attention to that this offseason is not going to break the bank in terms of contracts, which is why, Sammy, in a normal offseason, I would have gone to the 5 years that you did. That took me down to 4.
I think a lot of it is being influenced by fear. And this could all change when the offseason actually kicks off and deals start to, you know, come down the pipe. I think there's a lot of players who are scared that the lockout's going to affect their market. So they're doing, or like teams that are afraid of how the lockout's going to affect things, like the Rays trading Fairbanks, or like Bieber taking that low value deal. So I think there's a non-zero chance that this could just flip into a more regular offseason numbers and years wise. But, you know, you never know. It could be one of those off seasons where values are low. So a lot of weird stuff happening with this lockout.
All right, we're gonna tie this back together in the end, but let's go to Alonso here. Pat, I'll start with you. Alonso contract, predict it.
I'm gonna go 6 for $153. So that's 25.5 a year for 6 years. I don't think he gets to the 7-8 years because he's 29, gonna be 30, yeah? Or 30 gonna be 31?
30 gonna be 31 in December.
Yeah, so 6 years to me, first base who ends up being a DH. And the other thing too is like he fits a lot. He kind of is like Bregman last offseason. He fits a lot of ballparks really, really well. Fenway obviously being one, right-handed pole hitter with the monster right there. So you are paying for a first base up front knowing he will be a DH. So I don't think that he'll break, you know, like the $30 million or anything remotely close to it. But I think 6 years is a good spot. Puts him at 36. You can get like a back-end DH deal off of that if he so chooses at 36. AAV-wise, 25.5 seems pretty fair for a guy who is going to play first base for maybe a year or two and then transition to DH. He's not good over there defensively, so I think the sooner you can move him off of there is better. But I think that's where he likely lands is about 25.5. So I'll go 6 for $153.
Okay. Sammy, where are you at?
I'm right in the same ballpark. I have 6 for $162, so 27 a year. I wouldn't be shocked if it's a little lower than that.
Okay. I've got 5 for $125. I'm way below you guys. I've got 25 a year for 5 years. And it's basically because of what I said before, parlayed with the fact that last offseason, and I know there was a qualifying offer attached, but a year younger, and he couldn't get any team to touch any of the contracts that we just projected. Like no one was going to, and I know he was coming off a lesser season last year than he is now. But if someone had offered him $125 million last offseason, I don't think he goes back to the Mets. I think he signs for that $125 million. But okay, here's how we're going to parlay this back together because we were talking Schwarber, Alonso. I'll take the middle contract for both of these. So for Schwarber, the middle contract was of the three of ours was mine at 4 years, 140. For Alonso, the middle contract was Pat's at 6 for $153. If those are the two deals that are on the table and you could have your pick, 4 for $140 for Schwarber, 6 for $153 for Alonso, which one are you taking?
Probably Schwarber. Less of a commitment. Just pretty much ends there. Less of a commitment. The fit is slightly better with Pete Alonso, but if I can get two less years of being committed to a DH type guy, I'm taking that.
Took the words out of my mouth. I agree with you, Sammy.
Yeah, I'm also going Schwarber. Just because too, like Pete's had a couple of really good years in a row. He had 46 home runs, 34, 38. Average was way up this year for him. Way up this year for him. He had 272 this year, coming off of 240 last year, 217 the year before. OPS was about where it's been for his career. So, Pete, you're kind of buying kind of high on. Schwarber is just Schwarber. Like, you know what you're getting. Like, he'll drop off throughout the 4 years, but there's enough there where you're pretty comfortable with him for 4 years. Alonso, if he kind of keeps doing like this peak and valley kind of thing, it's a little bit tougher on a 6 year deal. Yeah, I think Schwarber fit wise, years wise, and just what he's kind of guaranteed to give you, it's a no brainer.
Yeah. That's the thing is like when I'm asked the question about any free agent, you have to think about what's the deal they're going to get. What free agent would you most like the Red Sox to get this offseason? Kyle Tucker. But when you take in all the extra factors, then it changes your answer. This is why Schwarber, I feel like, continues to be my answer to this, because I do think that there's a good shot that he ends up with multiple years less than Alonso. If it's the contracts that I projected, Sammy, let me ask you this, because you talked about Alonso as being a slightly better fit. If it was Schwarber for 4-140 or Alonso for 5-125, you're taking Alonso there, right?
Yeah, if it's a difference of a year, then yeah. But I think 2 years
less money total, 2 years, too.
Yeah, for sure. I think 2 years is a big gap. That's a big, big contract. Like, think back to two off seasons ago. I don't even remember who I was. So yeah, I would do that. But if it's a difference of 2 years, I'd rather go. I'd take whoever has the shorter term deal if it were a difference of 2 years.
Do you want to transition to pitching? Do a little
co-anchor,
co-number one, not even the number two.
Jordan Lyles, clap, 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 clap. Jordan
Lyles. The year is 2053. Jordan Lyles is in his 60s or something by now, maybe older. And we are still talking about him as an option for the Boston Red Sox.
And he has just secured, he has just signed a 2-year, $15 million deal with the Texas Rangers, club option after one. He'll pitch 128 innings, 4.7 ERA, and then he'll go to the Royals.
He'll always go to the Royals.
He'll always find his way home.
All right. Well, obviously the thing that Breslow said that they want a guy to pitch alongside Crochet at the top of the rotation, said he felt good about options 3 through 10, but they need to target someone to be at the top of that rotation, start a playoff game for them, is how he phrased it. There have been two guys mentioned for the Red Sox in the last couple of days, so we can start on there. Although one of them is Freddie Peralta, who John Morosi kind of connected to the Red Sox. Maybe it was a report, maybe it was him just kind of saying it's a good fit. But you've also got Bob Nightingale and Robert Murray saying they don't think Freddie Peralta gets moved, so take it with a grain of salt. He may not get traded. And then you had Joe Ryan, who Jeff Passan had as the perfect move for the Red Sox. I think Joe Ryan is the obvious, like Pat, you asked us two episodes ago who we thought was going to be the number two starter added to the Red Sox. And the easy answer is Joe Ryan, just because the Red Sox have tipped their hand. We know how much they really, really, really like Joe Ryan. That's an easy answer. Another one I'll bring up in here as well, Sandy Alcantara. On MLB Network tonight, they had Peter Bendix, president of baseball operations for the Marlins, on, and Brian Kenny pretty much gave him two chances to even hint that Sandy Alcantara could be back. It's like, is Sandy Alcantara in your plans? Whatever. Like, could Sandy Alcantara be a part of what you're doing? And he's he dodged it twice. Fully dodged it twice. We just want to get better. Like, that's all he would say. So, and we know the Red Sox made a run at Sandy Alcantara last deadline too. So we can loop him in there, but we know there's a million other options. We've talked Hunter Green, not sure he's going to get dealt. We've talked Tarek Skubal, not sure he's going to get dealt. Who else have we talked about for pitchers?
Suarez. There's others. Ranger Suarez.
Of course, all the free agents. Suarez, yeah. Cease, Framber Valdez, Imai, like who else?
Yeah, that's still on the table. I know we all think it's more likely trade, but that is very much on the table still.
Yeah, and then obviously Breslow tonight had said that, yeah, he thinks that there's a good shot that one big addition, aka the bat or the number two starter, one is going to come via free agency, one is going to come via trade. And the low hanging fruit is obviously to get the bat via free agency, because you got two of them right there. Whereas the pitchers, the options are endless.
The guy is Mitch Keller.
Get out. I've been poo-pooing the Mitch Keller thing since before this podcast existed.
Hey, he'd be a good number four. I'd like that.
Well, good thing three through ten is good to go. Ew. Per Craig Breslow. Mm-hmm. Pat?
When Craig says these quotes, one power bat, one starting pitcher, do we think that's factoring in re-signing Alex Bregman?
I think they're staying far away. Like, Breslow was asked about Bregman, and he basically said, we're not going to talk about specific individuals. I don't think he thinks the bat, and I don't think if they sign Alex Bregman, they would take that as the bat that you game plan the lineup around.
Do you think if they sign the bat, that precludes them from re-signing Bregman?
It could. I think it's fully possible for them to do everything. Like, I think they could get Bregman back, get one of Alonso or Schwarber, and trade for a Joe Ryan, and you can get under the second tier of the luxury tax as long as you figure out a way to offload, say, half of Masa Yoshida's deal.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Maybe.
But I wouldn't put it past them to get the bat and then try to get creative in the infield. You don't make a 30-plus million a year commitment to Bregman. You make a trade. I don't know.
The one thing that I guess you could call re-encouraging is that Breslow kind of straight up admitted that Marcelo may have an injury thing he needs to fight through. And he said, quite frankly, he hasn't put together a full season, blah, blah, blah. So that to me says, like, right now, there's no way they're comfortable slotting him in at third with, say, Story at short, Campbell at second, or something like that. Like, I think he must know how badly they need Bregman and a power bat, but who knows?
Yeah, and if they let Bregman walk, I don't think it's going to be a scenario where they get Pete Alonso or Kyle Schwarber, and then you put Marcelo at third and Campbell at second, and you call yourself all set because you replaced Alex Bregman Pete Alonso. I just don't see that.
Can you imagine how bad that would be? Pete Alonso at first, Butcher, Christian Campbell at second, worse than Emmanuel Valdez was. Story at short, regressing defense, and then whoever your third base. Like, I would throw up on a nightly basis if that actually happened. That would be F-, horrendous.
I feel like every time we try to get into the pitcher thing, we end up going away from it just because, like, what else is there to even say about it? Like, we're all super confident they're going to get one of these guys. We just don't know which one it's going to be.
I mean, I have an idea of who it's going to be.
Who do you think it's going to be?
It's going to be Joe Ryan. Joe Ryan's the guy. Joe Ryan has been the guy, and the groundwork was laid at the trade deadline last year. And yeah, Craig Breslow didn't seal the deal, but I feel like it's right there in front of us. They're telling us which arm they like the most. It makes so much sense. He's in his prime right now. He's a big strikeout arm. He's right-handed, opposite from Crochet. It's everything the Red Sox need and everything the Red Sox want. I think it's, I won't call it obvious, but I think there's a clear-cut name that they're going to target, and it's Joe Ryan.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. And I always come back to the reports that the reason a deal couldn't get done at the deadline was because the Red Sox at the time didn't think they could part with any major league offense because they needed it at the time. Now, we're talking about they have to part with an outfielder. So now, does that mean that the Twins are going to be interested in Jaron Duran versus an Abreu or a Rafael? We don't know. But it's on the table now in a way that it wasn't at the deadline. That was a big hurdle. And now the Red Sox not only can leap that hurdle, but they can pretty much tiptoe, like they can step over it. It's easy.
Not to mention, the Twins have lost a ton of leverage. That's half a year less of Joe Ryan they're trading now. They don't have the ability to say, oh, the deadline's coming up. You better make a decision soon. Got to add to the trade. It's either yes or no. Come on. What is it? Plus, like we've all alluded to, there are a million different pitchers available, be it free agency or trade, quality pitchers. So I think this is this is the way it's going to go, in my opinion. It's going to be Joe Ryan to the Red Sox. I don't know what the package is. We could talk about that another time. But that's what I think right now.
Yeah. I don't want to say inevitable because, again, there's so many options. And obviously we know that they went goo-goo gaga over Joe Ryan up until the clock struck six or whatever the trade deadline was. But they did go after Sandy Alcantara. It's just, I mean, if they went after Sandy.
They didn't go goo-goo gaga for him, though.
they didn't go goo-goo gaga because if they did, he'd be in Boston right now. Like, if they gave the Joe Ryan offer, they were basically willing to include any two of their top prospects, including Peyton Tolley, for Joe Ryan. And the Twins didn't take that. If they offered that for Sandy Alcantara, the Marlins take it. And obviously, it's a different story. Like, Sandy, especially at the time, was not pitching well. He's making a lot more money. He's coming off – he was in his first year coming off injury. Like, it's a different situation here. But
yeah,
if the Joe Ryan price stays high – and Ken Rosenthal wrote a whole thing today about how the Twins maybe shouldn't trade Joe Ryan and Pablo Lopez. But if that's the case, like, there are alternatives. It's not like last offseason, it almost felt like Fried, Crochet, Burns, or Bust. This offseason, like, there's 8 to 10 dudes where you could make the argument that you feel great about if the Red Sox get them to be there too.
With you.
Yeah. I think for me, when I posed that question, I think I said Freddie Peralta. I think Joe Ryan's the most likely. But if there is a team that can pry away Freddie Peralta, it's hard not to envision the Sox being that team. Milwaukee is obviously in a win now mode. They always covet young, controllable starting pitching. They need to upgrade that offense. Like, Duran, Early, there's plenty of things that you can kind of part with for that trade to make sense. One thing that really isn't being mentioned enough, like, everyone's like, oh, like, Peralta's a rental. That guy's making $8 million this year.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Like, you're like, yeah, he's a rental, but to get an ace for $8 million, like, you're going to have to pay like he has 2 years left. So that's a guy to keep an eye on for me, but I probably lean, yeah, Joe Ryan's probably the guy.
You also, with the Brewers, the Red Sox have a history of trading with them, both with this regime, with the Quinn Priester trade that we all love so much, and then
Travis Shaw.
Oh, you go way back to Travis Shaw, or you
Tyler
can go
Thornburg.
Three straight regimes, because that was Dombrowski. The Quinn Priester trade was Breslow, and the Renfro, Jackie Bradley, David Heim. Hamilton, Alex Pinellas deal is Heim. So three straight. The Red Sox do deal with the Brewers. They've got that relationship there. So, yeah, the fit's obvious. If the Brewers are willing to talk, and I'm sure they'll listen, but you would have to blow them away.
You forgot about the 1976 trade. Red Sox sent Cecil Cooper, and then they got George Scott and Bernie Carbo. Oh, hey, that was significant. There you go. I was joking at first, trade. But that's actually a big trade. There we go.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
The more you know.
Before we get to enough said, there's so much on this episode.
Juicy rumors.
Can I get your guys' takes on the Ketel Marte thing? Because I didn't know. Okay, wow. Are we about to all agree on this?
Well, okay, I'll go. He's awesome. He's the best second baseman in baseball. I just think the Red Sox have way too many issues that they need to address to be trading for a guy at a position that I feel pretty good about, whether it's Story or Meyer. Then they're going to have to reshuffle the deck another time. And he's also 32 years old, so he'd be getting his 32 through 36 age season. So, yeah, as awesome as he is, I just don't – it's not a great fit for the Red Sox at this time. And not to mention, he would cost so much in a trade because he's very good. So, yeah, I just don't think it makes sense.
This is fascinating because I see Pat nodding along. I thought I was going to get crushed for not being super into the Marte thing because he's one of the best players in baseball. He is, if you want to talk about a middle of the order bat that teams have to game plan around, he's a switch hitter and he's a middle of the order bat that teams have to game plan around. So he is that. But yes, 32. Another thing, the Diamondbacks just signed this guy to an extension. What, 2 years ago?
Two years ago? 6 year deal. Yeah.
And now they want to trade him and they kind of soured on him at the All-Star break. There were those weird reports and things got weird in that clubhouse. And remember, Perdomo was like pleading with the media to like relax and stop. And like kind of putting it on the media, but that stuff doesn't come out of nowhere. So to me, you got to ask yourself, why is this guy available? And then to put the bow on it, if you're getting Marte, to me, like he's obviously playing in the infield. You're putting him at second. That means you're putting Meyer at third, which means guess what? Sayonara, Alex Bregman. We just spent the last 365 days talking about how amazing Alex Bregman was, not just for his on-field contributions, but for everything he did off the field. And now we're going to trade – or we're going to let Alex Bregman walk to then trade a ton of prospect capital and pay money, even though he's got a pretty team-friendly contract. But you are paying for a guy – you're going to upgrade offensively a little bit, don't get me wrong, but overall you'd be downgrading your defense a little bit. And certainly, like, even if all of that stuff from the All-Star break about Marte is false and it was the media making up nonsense, he is not Alex Bregman off the field. Nobody is. And we just spent the entire year building Bregman up for all of that.
Spin zone. Let's say they do get Marte and they do sign Alex Bregman. That would probably mean Marcelo Meyer is going to Arizona. So now True. Your infield is 32-year-old Marte, 32-year-old Trevor Story, 31-year-old Alex Bregman. Great for 2026. You're going to be awesome. Lockout. Then you come back in 2028, and now you have a 34-year-old second baseman, a 34-year-old shortstop, and a 33-year-old third baseman. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. And I think, like, Red Sox fans see Ketel Marte, outstanding MVP conversation type player. But it's not, it's like we were talking about Kyle Tucker earlier. He's awesome, but it's about fit as well. It's not just talent. So I just don't, I think it's not, it doesn't make sense for the Red Sox.
Yeah. I mean, you can't, it's pretty unanimous. Ketel Marte is the best second baseman in baseball.
Yeah.
He's freak athlete. Easy. Yeah. Freak athlete. A good for 26 to 32 ish, 35 ish home runs. High average, does not strike out a lot, walks a good amount, insane OPS plus. He's good at second base. Timeline-wise, yep. Timeline-wise, just feels weird to plug in a 32-year-old at second base with this young team. It just feels like he's not. If they were at the end of a window or like in the middle going toward the end of a window, I'd say Ketel makes a ton of sense. But when this is like the window's just cracked open and it's only going to get more open, it feels weird to just bring in a 32-year-old on a 4-year deal. Sammy, one thing that you said that I would not say is a lock, I don't think they would have to trade Marcelo.
Oh, I do.
Because they have Geraldo Perdomo, Jordan Lawler. You have two decent middle infielders. So I think the piece going back would be Tolley and Moore, which I would think, still I suck, think. But...
Yeah, also
I think,
bad.
I think fit-wise, you're right. It maybe even adds an additional layer as to why it makes very little sense, because if you're bringing in Marte, it makes sense that Marcelo would be part of the package going back for the Red Sox. But for you're right, Pat. For the Diamondbacks, they don't need that stud defensive middle infielder with offensive. Like,
they'd be losing Marte, though. They have to replace Marte. I feel like that's exactly who they'd want.
Yeah, but Lawler's been playing no spot.
But Lawler can play. Lawler was playing third when the Red Sox played the Diamondbacks. Marcelo plays second. Marcelo plays short. Lawler's played second. Lawler's also been really bad too. Like, I think they'd want Marcelo. I think they'd target him. But I not definite. I mean, I could see Tolley as well. Either way, I don't like it.
Not for nothing either. This was on the 310 to Left podcast today. Alex Speer kind of hypothesized that he doesn't think Marcelo is necessarily off the table in trade talks this offseason. Definitely didn't think it was like likely or anything, but wondered, you know, in a way that they didn't want to trade him last year. Maybe it could, he could be up for discussion this year. But to me, I think there are just so many ways to get a number two starter without parting with that guy. And I don't think you need to trade for the bat. So I would keep him. I would build around Roman and him and everything else you got going, but just a little nugget, little tidbit that I heard today on their podcast. Want to do a little bit enough said? I can go first. I'll go first. I hate it. I hate that this offseason is shaping up to be a very, very, very slow one. I keep reading it. I keep hearing every insider. I listen to their podcasts. I read their articles, and I keep reading and hearing the same exact thing, that this is going to be a snail's pace off season. And don't get me wrong, like when signings and trades happen for the Red Sox, it limits our options for who says no's. So if I want to put a spin zone on it, it's like, hey, like more possibilities for us to talk about things. But like, no, what I want is to know what this team is going to look like going into next year. I want to know how aggressive they're going to be. I want to know if they can get the job done. I want to know what their competition is doing. I want to know if the Blue Jays are going to be the team to end up with Kyle Tucker. Do they bring back Bo Bichette? I want to know what the Yankees do. The one thing a salary cap would really bring is a quicker offseason. I know that the salary cap is not happening, and nor should it happen soon, but I really would give anything to have the Major League Baseball offseason be more similar to the NBA and the NFL. And we talk about it every offseason, but it would be so nice.
I'm with you. Signing window would be cool. Mine, just shout out David Pastrnak. He scored his 400th goal right when we started recording. So, you know, I like to watch hockey. I'm not a hockey genius by any means. I'm like very mediocre with my knowledge, but he's awesome. We're very lucky as Boston fans to get to watch him when we do choose to tune into the Bruins. So shout out Pasta. Also, elite nickname, Pasta. I feel like we take that for granted. So
definitely.
Eat your pasta.
I eat an obscene amount of pasta.
That doesn't surprise me. But no tomato sauce. So you, what do you do? Butter and cheese like you're four?
No. That's actually a very highly regarded dish.
Okay. So I love cheese. I love butter. I love pesto. So, like, if I'm trying to, like, if I'm out.
What the? What?
I know. It's crazy. Pat, my eating habits are ridiculous because there are very basic things that I don't eat. But then, like, I went to Paris, I ate snails. Like,
really? I've had escargot. It's okay. Escargot. It's kind of like a booger on a cracker.
It tastes like shellfish. It tastes like clams in a way or something.
It looks like a booger.
It does look like a booger. But I love shellfish.
Oh, yeah, it's a Gordo, you know what you got to tell people? Say that you like aglio e olio, which is just it's a pasta with garlic and olive oil. And then people are like, "Wow, he's so cultured. What's aglio e olio?"
You know what I love to order if it's there, cuz it sounds like this whole thing, but it's actually just cacio e pepe, which is basically it's just like slightly spicy cheese sauce.
Well, the traditional way to make it is you're supposed to have a wheel of Parmesan cheese, dig it out, and you're supposed to, when the pasta's hot, you put it in the wheel and you like move the pasta around in the giant Parmesan wheel while you're putting Parmesan on top of it with the black pepper, and then you take it out, put it in a bowl. It's really cool to watch. I can send you some vids. I love cooking stuff.
I need to go to a place that does that. That's like my version of when the chefs flip the thing in front of you.
Hibachi.
Hibachi, thank you. Yeah, that'd be my hibachi. Because the issue with hibachi for me is like, I can find stuff to eat at hibachi. But there's so many types of, I'm such a picky eater. There's like I can't eat at like an Indian restaurant. Like there's nothing for me.
Indian food is intimidating. I love it. It's one of my favorites, but it's intimidating. It's a lot of spices.
Mm-hmm. The last thing a hibachi chef wants to see is Pat Brown rolling up to his table.
Oh yeah, dude. I'll go toe to toe with you at hibachi, man. I'm bottomless pit.
Dude, I fuck up hibachi. I love it. I love it. Don't even get me started on hibachi.
Pat, you do the thing where they flick the thing and you gotta catch it in your mouth?
Yeah. Oh dude, they run out of the bottle that pees sake, they run out. I just sit.
I like what you know. What's
sneaky weird talent of mine is if you like toss goldfish to me, I can always catch it in my mouth.
You know what?
All right. That tracks. We should end that. Yeah.
That tracks.
Yeah. Should we end the show?
No, Pat's got enough said, right?
I got
enough. Go ahead.
I got a funny one because this went super under the radar today. Shams tweeted today at 9:21 Central Time. So 9:21 a.m. Central Time. The Central Time plays a key part here. Because if you go and look up the tweet, it says 10:20 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay. 9:21 Central Time.
Shams, the NBA insider.
Yes. Breaking. The Dallas Mavericks and owner Patrick Dumont are expected to fire general manager Nico Harrison at 10 a.m. Central Time in their meeting on Tuesday. He broke the news of him being fired a half hour before he had the meeting to get fired. Can you imagine opening Twitter and you find out you lose your job from Shams?
Would you show up to the meeting?
More than you think.
Would you show up?
No, you would show up to the meeting.
Not going to
the meeting. Were they going to give you a severance package? No.
Did you guys see Nico Harrison's Instagram bio? He changed it from GM of the Dallas Mavericks to unemployed.
Ooh. Did he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, that
Shout
was
out Nico Harrison. Dude,
that was one.
Dude,
I mean, that's the Mookie trade for basketball.
Yeah, oh, it's so much awful. Worse. It's so much worse to me.
No.
You had Luka Doncic forever. The Red Sox probably had Mookie for one more year.
That's true.
Yeah, and it's basketball. It's one player in basketball. Like you're guaranteed round playoff run just by like Luka Doncic could make it to the second round of the playoffs with us as three of his starting five.
I've been to Luka Doncic's hometown and they have really advanced recycling system.
What?
Yeah, that's what they're known for. That's what it's called.
Slovenia?
Yeah, he's from Ljubljana, Slovenia, and they have like the most specific recycling thing I've ever seen. It like lines the middle of the town. It's very specific on the way they do it. Like this bin is for plastics. This bin is for this type of plastics. This bin, it's very specific. So, and a nice city. It's gorgeous. So Go to Ljubljana. I think I'm pronouncing that right.
If one of Kyle Schwarber or Pete Alonso is really into like the environment, should bring that system to Fenway Park.
It's spelled like this: Ljubljana. Ljubljana.
Wow.
Bring it to Boston and recycle. Recycle your old players and bring back Kyle Schwarber, baby! Oh!
And on that note, we got to end it on that. Shout out for you listening to Play Tessie, episode 282. Thanks for tuning in. Remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Really appreciate all the listeners. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it is Gordo here for Play Tessie, episode 282. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.